and around the world. You are now walking with spirit. Hello, everybody. I'm Dr. Monique Chapman, your host, and thank you for joining us for an hour of personal and metaphysical growth. Each week, Walking with Spirit explores different topics from the mundane to the mystical, with stimulating guests from all over the world who share their knowledge to uplift consciousness during Earth's ascension. Tonight, we have Francesca McCartney with us. She's the author of Body of Health, the New Science of Intuition Medicine for Energy and Balance. Excuse me, I got a little bit of cold. And she's also the founder of the Academy of Intuition Medicine. Now, a bit about me for our new listeners. I am an intuitive energy therapist with 25 years experience. I have helped thousands of people from stay-at-home parents to corporate executives make their invisible dreams visible. Utilizing my gifts, I simultaneously am in touch with the past, present, and future, eliminating the fog and paving the way for clarity. I work with Eastern, Western, African, and Caribbean methodologies, in addition to being a board-certified hypnotherapist, Reiki master teacher, and ordained minister. Now, getting to tonight's guest, Dr. Francesca McCartney is the president of the Academy of Intuition Medicine in Sausalito, California, which was founded in 1984. Francesca and her teaching facility trained students to use her techniques in their work in the field of healthcare providers, physical therapists, and counselors, and in all walks of life. She has been practicing and developing her intuitive skills for more than 30 years. The Academy offers a Master's in Intuition Medicine and as well as continuing education credits for registered nurses, licensed psychologists, and educators. So please join me in welcoming Dr. Francesca McCartney. Hi, how are you doing, Francesca?
Hello, Monique. It's wonderful to be dialoguing with you.
Well, thank you, and pardon me today. I've got this wonderful thing going on with my throat, and it's very difficult to get the words out and all that, but we'll get through this, okay?
It's fine with me.
Okay. You know, I'm very impressed with your credentials and your background. When did you start on your spiritual path?
I feel that I started at a very young age. I was growing up. I was very religious during my youth,
mm-hmm.
and followed organized religion, but I feel more in a spiritual way than in a dogmatic way. And as I moved into my teens and my early 20s, I began to investigate world religion and world spirituality, and moved my interest of spirituality into the teaching and education realm as I discovered more about the importance of spirituality on health and well-being. And officially, I began my full-time professional career as an educator in intuition and intuition medicine and healthcare in 1976, and I have been working full-time since 76 in this field.
Mm-hmm. Now, how comfortable were you bringing intuition, say, into the mainstream?
Well, it happened in layers. In 1976, when I first began my practice, I actually started in a medical clinic. Synchronicity brought me to meet a doctor who was an allopathic doctor, a neurologist, who also studied in India and was incorporating his Ayurvedic medicine, homeopathy, and acupuncture into his clinic in Walnut Creek, California. And in the 70s, that was a bit of an anomaly.
Mm-hmm.
And we met at a conference, and it was a conference on alternative and complementary healers in the San Francisco Bay Area. And he was one of the speakers, and I was introducing the speakers, and we clicked. And he said he had been looking for someone to come into his clinic to teach his patients how to meditate. And when he had patients come in with high blood pressure, he intuited that they needed to learn how to release stress before he medicated them. And so I filled that gap for him. And for 7 years, I was the stress reduction. That was what the term was,
mm-hmm.
meditation stress reduction therapist in the clinic. And I would teach his high blood pressure patients how to meditate before he medicated them. Most often he did not need to medicate them if they followed through with the meditation practice. And then from that point, he and I kind of branched off with my skills, and he was very energetic, savvy, and I had done energy, chakra, aura, energy work on him, and there were particular patients who were open to that sort of work. So then I began to have small groups of his patients where I would do energy work with them, and then there were other groups of patients where he would ask me for a second opinion as a medical intuitive. And so from there, I branched off into incorporating my intuitive and my spiritual work within a medical field, medical clinic.
Okay. Well, first of all, the work that you did was absolutely phenomenal with that doctor. How did you teach the people to meditate? Because so many people today say, you know what, I want to meditate, but I can't get the mind quiet. And even if they're listening to a guided meditation tape, they seem to wander off or do what I call go unconscious, where they're really not conscious of the process. What strengths did you bring to the table in teaching lay people who necessarily weren't open to meditation before finding out they had high blood pressure and needing to reduce that? What was your technique?
I made it very simple, and I also prescribed only 5 minutes at a time for the meditation.
Okay.
A couple of things. I found that if I could get a person to meditate 5 minutes a day on a regular basis, it would have a strong result on whatever illness that they were focusing on, rather than instruct them to meditate 1 hour or 30 minutes twice a week. So it's really simple consistency. So the two basic things I did was I would have a patient focus on listening to the sound of their breath and do that for one full minute, and to dedicate that full minute to not thinking about anything else and to listening and feeling the sound of their breath. And then for the next minute, to focus on sensing the feelings in their body and then and dropping those feelings low to the ground, and then to begin to feel with the tree using guided imagery, feel whatever stress they were holding onto washing off their body with whatever imagery suited them, a waterfall or electricity running through their body, and moving the stress off their body down into the ground. And then the third minute would be for the person to visualize or to sense and feel their connection to the earth with either an image, tree roots, or a feeling, their feet sinking into mud. And then for the last 2 minutes, to simply sit quietly, listening to their breath and feeling their body being grounded to the earth. So that was the simple 5 minute meditation. And actually, I still recommend that meditation to beginners to be able to get into a quiet state of mind, which is the precursor to any kind of meditation, as you know, and any kind of energy work.
Okay. Well, then how did you have the information jump from meditation over into intuition and developing that?
Well, I see intuition as the full human sense, the sixth sense that guides our inner healing medicine. And in order for a person to be able to use meditation and to tap into their inner resources to get rid of stress or to do any sort of healing, a person needs to be able to listen to their quiet inner voice, their quiet inner senses, which to me is the definition of intuition.
Uh-huh.
So in training people to use their intuition, I'm really training a person to tap into their inner healing skill, art, their inner medicine, if you will, their intuition medicine.
Basically, what you're sharing with us then is that everybody has the opportunity to heal themselves. So I told you at the beginning of the show, having difficulty with my voice this morning because I caught something down there in my throat. So through my chakra, would I be able to heal that with meditation and using my intuition?
That's recommend, yes.
Okay.
Yeah. I have a bit of a story. I'm teaching a beginning level class this month at the academy, and I have students in the class who have been studying this intuition medicine process now, I think they're in their eighth class. And one student came in and said, that she was with her family over the holiday weekend, and she began to get a really intense headache, and she went to grab some kind of medication, aspirin or whatever, and then she stopped for a moment. She said, gee, I think I'll try to do some chakra healing work.
Uh-huh.
She did that, and she reported to the whole class within 2 minutes the headache was gone. She was amazed, but then that for her was the way that she proved to herself that tapping into her intuition, following through, doing a really simple grounding and letting go meditation of what she was sensing as pain in her head was her ability to use her intuition to heal herself.
Interesting. Now, could it have been also that pain necessarily wasn't her pain? Because I know sometimes when I'm in pain or experiencing something that's uncomfortable, I tend to put a grounding cord around it and send it down to the center of the earth with the postulate that if it's not mine, it'll go away. And 99% of the time, the energy dissipates.
Well, actually, that was the rest of her story, yes. That was exactly
okay.
What she said. It was one of her relatives, yes, the
uh-huh.
energy.
It's amazing how we can take on the energies of those that are around us. And they think they're helping, and we accepted this help until we feel that, it's not so comfortable. Now, we talked about, intuition, and it can help us, heal ourselves and heal our bodies. And you talked about meditation. Is there any other way to access our intuition besides meditation?
Yes. There is, within the physical body, a subtle nervous system, which is very analogous to the acupuncture, some meridians,
uh-huh.
chakras all over the body, not just the seven main chakras. And this subtle energy nervous system operates by sensing the environment, at the inner and the outer environment, through feeling, through vision, through inner vision,
uh-huh.
through touch, through hearing, through taste. So actually using all of the other five human senses incorporated with the subtle intuitive sense and running that information through the subtle nervous system, a person can perceive the world around them and within them through many different ways.
Okay, so how do we really get in tune? Because so many of us, everybody, we have energy affecting us in any given moment. So how do we really get in tune to the energy that's around us without giving into it, without letting, succumbing to it?
I think the first thing is a person needs to practice being grounded, as you and I have been talking about. That is the most important thing that I teach my students,
uh-huh.
that you have to be, and grounding means, another definition for grounding is to be present, to be very aware of how you're feeling, what is going on within your body, what is going on around you, and being conscious. So grounding is, I believe, the number one step in getting tuned. Secondly, it is placing your awareness, your sense of self, in a quiet inner place. And in my book, I talk about this as, and I call it your meditation sanctuary. And I have, in my research, discovered that there's a physical location in the body where there is this quiet inner introspective place where the intuitive sense is developed, and that's in the hypothalamus area. In the brain. And there's a lot of physiological reasons and psychological reasons that I go into in the book of why you center your attention there to get in tune. Just to simply put it for your listeners, to bring your awareness into that space and to be quiet and grounded in your body is a way for you to begin to get in tune and to heighten your sense of intuition, so that you have available to you more choices of making decisions, of taking care of yourself, of healing yourself, and so on.
Okay. Now I want to back up a bit. You mentioned grounding and how important it is to ground. Could you share with us a quick way of grounding, and is it safe for us to ground other people?
Okay, I'll answer that in two ways.
Okay.
A very simple way to ground is to sense take a moment. Again, go back to breathing, listening to your breath, and then to sense your whole body, feel your whole body from your head down to your feet, and then to affirm or visualize upping all of your energy, all the energy you feel in your body, low to the ground. And there is a rhythmic pulse that's being constantly emitted from the earth, from Mother Earth, and it is it's a grounding pulse. It's actually called the Schumann resonance,
uh-huh.
And it's a vibratory pulse that affects physical bodies, sentient bodies, by lowering and slowing down their nervous system into a state of relaxation. And that's what grounding does. It connects you to that natural healing pulse of Mother Earth, so that if you can slow yourself down by breathing, sensing your body, and then visualizing or affirming, creating a anchor or a connection into the earth, that's a really simple way to ground. You can do that with your eyes closed. You can do that with your eyes open. You can do that while you're walking around.
Uh-huh.
Now, the second part of your question about grounding other people, I actually do not, suggest to my students that they do that to another person, or to affect them in any way unless they are being paid to do so in a professional consultation. Because to me, that's crossing boundaries, and it is unethical to do so.
Okay. And only if they were being paid by the person requesting the help for themselves.
Right.
Yeah, okay. Okay, now you mentioned the Schumann response, resonance. Is that the 7.5 cycles per second that the Earth pulsates, or is
yes.
it a different one?
Yes, that's it.
Okay. In your book, and you have this wonderful book, it's entitled, again, The Body of Health, The New Science of Intuition Medicine. What do you mean by new science?
One of my strong quests is to integrate the art and the art of intuition and the practice of intuition into accepted mainstream healthcare.
Uh-huh.
And in order to do that within the reigning paradigm of healthcare, one needs to talk about it in scientific terms to show that intuition can be measured, it can be qualified, it can be tested, and then, therefore, it falls within the parameters of being called a science, and then it can be regarded within the scientific realm, which is where Western medicine resides at this moment in history.
Uh-huh.
So that's why I call it a science.
Okay. And how do you propose opening up the allopathic doctors to this process when so many of them are still closed down to using herbs and vitamins?
I actually think, Monique, that it is already happening. It's happening on a ground level, and it's moving up. There are more physicians who are waking up to the need of their patients, of wanting more than just medication. And it is these spiritually inclined physicians who are looking around for other ways to communicate to their patients. So it's really, I feel, the patients who are asking the doctors to wake up, as well as I'm in touch with many doctors in different specialties of medicine who are rather spiritually inclined and who do want this type of information, a holistic, a complementary level of information, so that they can use it along with, if needed, allopathic medicine. So I think there's really a huge call for, at this time in medicine, a huge call for the sense of energy medicine, of intuition medicine.
Mm-hmm. Now, is there a difference between intuition medicine and energy medicine?
I'll define that. Everyone asks that question.
Uh-huh.
Energy medicine is a large umbrella term for subtle applications of healing. So what falls under the umbrella of energy medicine is, for instance, acupuncture, homeopathy, Reiki, and intuition medicine. So those are examples of specialties under the umbrella of energy medicine. So if a person says, I practice energy medicine, what you would then ask them, well, what is your specialty within the practice of energy medicine? And it could be intuition medicine. And intuition medicine is a trademark specialty that I have registered, which denotes that if you say I'm trained in intuition medicine, it means that you've studied at the Academy of Intuition Medicine and you've studied the synthesis of the, of this modality at our academy in South Toledo. And we have California State Education approval to give our students who study with us in our year course and our 2 or 3 year course a vocational certification, which is really a big deal. And what it means is if someone comes through our program and graduates, they are approved by the state of California to practice as an intuition medicine counselor. And they have, you know, all the rights that any other healthcare practitioner has to work under the auspices of healthcare, but within the healthcare field.
Okay. Well, that sounds absolutely fabulous. Now, what type of prerequisites does one need to come to the school with if they wanted to embark on this journey?
Well, first of all, a desire to want to develop their intuition for either personal reasons, for well-being, for self-healing, or that they want to gain a vocational certification to practice this art as a profession or as an adjunct to their profession. And there's an admission interview, and that's more or less how, you know, we decide if a person will benefit from our program or not.
Okay. Excuse me. And then once you're past the admissions interview and you're in, what's the learning process like?
It's very experiential,
uh-huh.
For the most part. And we have course materials where the students read books, listen to tapes. That's kind of their practice work during the week. But within the classroom, we incorporate meditation exercises. So we're actually training our students to meditate, and then we're also training them to practice self-healing, and then the next step is to practice how to heal another person. So it's kind of sequential learning.
Uh-huh.
We also do, in the classroom, we do laboratory experiments. I like to call this the laboratory of human consciousness, where I've developed particular hands-on experiments to have students practice on each other, being supervised by myself and teaching assistants, so that they can feel and sense and prove to themselves what they just experienced in meditation, in the contemplative time in the classroom, what they just heard everyone talk about intellectually, what they've been reading about. Then the next step is to actually do an experiment where they can prove it to themselves in a kinesthetic way and have feedback from their lab partner that, yes, I experienced that as well. So that's part of our scientific process. Within the classroom, so that students get their information contemplatively, intellectually, experientially, and intuitively.
Okay. We're talking today with Dr. Francesca McCartney. She is the author of Body of Health, The New Science of Intuition Medicine for Energy and Balance. She also has a set of CDs that complement the book. And she had sent me a set, and at the time I was struggling a lot with hot flashes because I'm at that age. And she had suggested that I use the CD on Kundalini. And honestly, Francesca, for the first 2 or 3 weeks, I kind of blew it off. Didn't do it. And then I sat down and decided to do it. And you know, I haven't had hot flashes.
Wow, congratulations, Monique.
Yeah, so so you know, I think when you're really ready to heal on whatever level, the healing does come, because at first, you know, we talked about it, and this was, you know, several months ago, and I, you know, just kind of didn't get to it. And finally, when I did, it's just worked and worked wonderfully.
Well, can you tell me what it was, which part of the meditation worked best for you? Because, you know, as you know, listening to it and reading the book on it, I teach it in layers.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious which part of it worked for you with the hot flashes.
Boy, you know, that's going to be a little bit difficult for me to say because Let me see what's
well, there. There was the grounding part.
Yeah, well, I ground into all of that every day anyway, so that, you know, wasn't necessarily the key. I think what, honestly, encapsulating the whole thing, I think the key for me was I was finally ready to utilize an energetic tool to release the heat, to control the kundalini. So energetically, I was ready for an energetic tool that I didn't have in my toolbox to manage it, to release it. So I think it's a combination of everything that you offered, because although I ground every day and, you know, run my energy every day and meditate and do all that wonderful energy work, it wasn't until I was ready to put together a form of new energy, and a new energy, I mean, not coming from me, something that was gifted to me, and I just went through the process. So it was part of my learning curve about being able to receive.
Yeah, you know, I think you said it very succinctly, that no matter how much a teacher gives a student, student won't receive until she's ready.
Exactly. And for whatever reason, you know, for goodness, 11 years old, sitting here suffering with horrendous, horrendous hot flashes, and you know, talking to you, and then, you know, listening to the CD when I finally got around to doing it, that was the major shift.
Well, congratulations.
Well, thank you, and I appreciate you and the book for, and the CD for doing the healing work that it does. So, folks, this works, you know, you don't have to have a one-on-one session with Francesca, although that's probably a nice thing to do if she's open to that, but this work definitely works by reading the book, applying the practices, and also listening to the CDs. Now, where can people purchase the CD and or book?
Amazon.com for the book. Actually, I have two books, but this is my recent book. And the CD through our website, which is intuitionmedicine.org. And local bookstores have the book as well. You know, Borders and all the local bookstores usually have it.
Okay, now are you open to private consultations, or are you basically just teaching your courses and letting people come and learn from you at your institute?
I haven't done a private consultation for 10 years, but I have trained hundreds of very well qualified practitioners. And if your listeners go to our website, intuitionmedicine.org, there's a practitioners page and a faculty page. They can click on there and see all our wonderful people who live all around California in different states across the United States, and they can contact them for this healing work.
Okay. Well, this show is pre-recorded. We had it pre-recorded, but Francesca has gifted us with some copies of her book to give away. So I'm going to put this out there. This is going to air on March 14th, 7 to 8 p.m. Pacific time. And the first five emails that I receive by March 15th noon, that's March 15th, 2006 noon, send me an email with your name, address, telephone number. I will ship you out a copy. And again, it has to be the first five. It's going to be a little tricky to do since we're pre-recorded, but I think that we can have it work, because Francesca has done a lot of wonderful work here, a lot of information in the book. The book is over, goodness, over 300 pages, and it's chocked full of information. I get a lot of books on a weekly basis. I'm in this line of business myself, so I know what's true, what's not true, what works and not works, and Francesca's methods absolutely do work. Francesca, in your book, you talked about, you know, the intuition, and you talked about three forms of clairvoyance, which was kind of interesting to me. You talked about spontaneous clairvoyance, intentional clairvoyance, and mind's eye clairvoyance. What's the difference? First of all, enlighten us what you consider clairvoyance to be, and then what's the difference between the three?
Okay. I need to comment on your question here. I had a heated discussion with my editor about including that or not. She did not want me to include that piece.
Oh.
And I am just thrilled that you are talking about that and you find that interesting. You're actually the first interviewer that's brought that to a listening audience. The reason my editor did not want me to include it is she thought it was way too advanced and people wouldn't understand it. And I kept saying to her, there are going to be enough people who understand this, and it's going to make sense to them, and it'll be relevant to them, that we need to keep it in.
So I agree.
I'm really thankful that you are asking this question. Now, the three levels of intuition is a hypothesis that I've actually been working on probably for 20 years via observing my students and the different ways that they operate with their clairvoyance.
Uh-huh.
And to my definition, my working definition of clairvoyance is using the intuitive skill of vision, of inner vision, of perceiving subtle energy as a color or a pattern or a symbol, imagery in some way or form. So it's like a subtle ocular sense, although you use your physical eyes to perceive the imagery.
Uh-huh.
Now, in observing people, especially my students in training, what I've discovered is that some people have their clairvoyant vision already open, already operating, and it's spontaneous. It's like on call. You look at someone and you intend to see their aura or their chakra system, and it's there,
uh-huh.
You know, at will. Some people need to develop that skill, and they can develop via setting an intention, such as going through a protocol, closing eyes, visualizing the person's aura possibly as a blueprint or a template, using their creative visualization, and then affirming that the person's color of their aura, for example, fill up that blueprint so that they can get a mental imagery readout of the person's energy field. So that's intentional clairvoyance.
Uh-huh.
And then mind's eye clairvoyance is often what happens in a flash when you look at someone and you see a flash of a symbol. Maybe you're looking at someone and all of a sudden you see a flash of a symbol like a cat. And you know it's not your cat because you don't have cats. And that picture of a cat appears in what I call your mind's eye, and that's the area within your brain that's the visual center.
Uh-huh.
And so then you intuit, oh, something's happening with that person's cat, or you know, that person owns a cat. So usually the mind's eye clairvoyance is something that happens without thinking about it, and it comes and it goes. So that's kind of succinctly the three different levels of clairvoyance.
Okay. Now, what other types of intuition do you work with? Do you also work with telepathy and psychometry and precognition and all that? Does that play into this or no?
Yes. The reason I've defined different levels of intuition is when people come to the academy to study with me, I go through an assessment of their level of development and intuition. Some people are, you know, clairvoyant. That
mm-hmm.
they see auras. Some people don't have clairvoyance. They're clairaudient. They hear sounds. They hear resonance. They hear a person's energy field. Many people who are musicians hear but don't see the sound of a person's energy field, and they can hear a dissonant sound when they focus on a person if the person is ill. Or a harmonious sound if the person is well. That's as an example. Many people are clairsentient, which means they use their body to, in an acute, developed way, like empathy, to feel the energy of another person. And some people use telepathy, which is picking up, without verbal communication, mental thoughts, mental communication. Other people have an abstract sense, which is knowing. You just simply know something. It's not visual. It's not telepathic. It's not audio. You just simply know something. Psychometry is something that I stress a lot with my beginning students, and that's using your hand to detect your own energy field, to test your chakras with your hand chakras and using psychometry. And then as you progress, to use your hands to scan and test another person's energy field. So those are some of the levels
okay.
of intuitive skills.
Well, you mentioned something that's quite intriguing to me, and that's the chakras and testing the chakras with your hand. Is that something that you could share with the audience?
Yes. Most people, whether they know it or not, can use their hands as detectors of the of their energy field, of their chakras, of their aura. And in the center of the palms of our hands are chakras. They're minor chakras.
Uh-huh.
And in order, you know, your listeners can do this right now as we're talking, putting your attention on your hand chakras and either visualizing or affirming the chakras dilating open, like the pupil of your eye dilates, and then putting your hand about 6 inches away from each of the chakra points, the top of the head, the middle of the forehead, the throat, the sternum, the abdomen, the navel, and the base of the spine are the main 7 main chakras. And putting your hand about 6 inches in front of each one of those or one of those, and then slowly moving your hand towards that chakra point and then moving it away, most people will begin to psychometrically detect a pulse or a temperature or a tingling on the palms of their hands or pressure or a magnetic sensation. Those are all indicators of an active chakra and information within the chakra. And that's how I train people to start the diagnostic process using psychometry of their chakra system.
Okay, well, I did that while you were talking about it, and I did have my throat chakra since I'm having issues with my throat. And about 4 inches in, I got this intense feeling of heat. So what would that mean?
Heat is a very good diagnostic tool. And what I've found is that too much heat indicates an imbalance.
Mm-hmm.
Cold indicates an imbalance. And to bring a chakra back to a balance of health, use heat as a diagnostic tool. You would energetically work with shifting the temperature of that chakra by moving your healing energy into that chakra until the temperature is at a moderate temperature rather than not too hot or not too cold.
Okay.
That's the first step.
Okay. Well, while you were doing that, I also held my hand there, and I imagined the gauge being down there with 10 being extremely hot and 0 being cold, and I brought it back down to 4. And as I brought it back down to 4, in my mind, I could feel the heat dissipating.
Excellent.
And now it's a nice, warm, even temperature. So thank you.
Yeah. Now, you added another thing. You added your clairvoyance, which is the gauge, and that's another very interesting tool to incorporate if a person has, you know, clairvoyant abilities, is to use a gauge to see how well you're operating and healing yourself.
Mm-hmm. So it's quite easy, actually almost child's play, in order to heal ourselves.
And I think that's where people get stuck, is it's so very simple that you have to unwind from the complicated way of thinking how to heal oneself to just going down to the basic simple. And bodies like simple.
Mm-hmm.
When they're in a state of asking to be healed.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. I think that overall, energy likes simple. I teach a lot of manifesting classes. And, you know, I tell people that it's very easy. You can manifest. Just get out of your own way. Stop making it so hard. And I think the same thing comes down for health, because we are programmed, if you will, that it's difficult. We have no control. We have to give our control to someone else. And as the new paradigm is definitely entering the world and we're going back to taking care of ourselves, I think that a lot of people are saying, oh, I can just release and be. And as we be, we can heal or create or have just about anything that we want.
I completely agree with you.
Yeah.
Simple is a powerful key.
Yeah. Now, you talked about the 7 major chakras. There's also telepathic chakras. What are those?
They are chakras that are pick up mental communication, the unspoken messages. And they are minor chakras, and they are located around your eye, across the bridge of your nose, at your temples, and in back of your ears at the mastoid area. If you imagine wearing glasses,
mm-hmm.
it's the telepathic chakras follow the frames and and the what is that piece called on the frame that goes behind your ears? I always forget that.
I don't know, but it's the back of the ear piece.
The back of the ear. So yes. So those are the telepathic chakras. I always find that when I introduce those chakras and show my students how to energetically balance them, for them, they always say, wow, this feels like I'm giving myself a face massage, which it does. So because these chakras are small, what I suggest is a person use their fingertips, and there's actually minor chakras at your fingertips. Uh-huh. So instead of using the palm of your hand, which is a larger chakra, to balance and to heal the telepathic chakras, you simply take your fingertips, and you can take both hands, fingertips, and do a circular motion around your telepathic chakras, around your eyes, and to first detect, do a diagnostic detection, see if you, again, feel heat or cold or prickly, and then that gives you an indication of how healthy or out of balance the chakra is. And then to visualize or affirm sending your healing energy, your life force energy, through your fingertips into the telepathic chakras, most people feel their face relaxing, or their muscles relaxing, or their eyes relaxing, which is indicative of healing energy being absorbed.
Mm. Well, not only that, for those of us who are conscious about our facial appearance, it minimizes those nasty little things called wrinkles.
That's right.
And keeps the skin firm.
So. Discovered that.
So if you're looking for the fountain of youth, purchase her book, Body of Health, and you'll have everything at your fingertips. Now, we talked about the chakras. How do the chakras correspond with the auras and the seven layers of the aura?
Each of the seven main chakras is like a resonant tuner, sending out concentric circles, radio wave bands from the chakra, which is located within the body, outward and around the body. And these concentric resonant frequencies that are emitted from each chakra create the pattern, the whole pattern of the aura around the body. So our physical body is actually encased in another layer of skin, an energy skin, which is the outward emission and resonance from each of the seven main chakras. And as you know, an ideally healed and grounded, healthy aura looks like a cocoon of light around a person, equidistant, back and front, and right and left, and above and below. And this actually has been tested. This, I guess it would be called a theory of how the chakra is formed in numerous laboratories around the world. And I cite some of that evidence for the existence of what is for most people the unseen or auric field around the human body.
Mm-hmm.
I like to back up my intuitive information with researched scientific information, which, as you know, there's a huge amount of it already out and there for the public to read if one looks for it.
Right. Well, with mainstream America becoming more open to the intuitive levels. I mean, we've got shows on air already, like The Medium. We've got the movie The Sixth Sense. There's that show for the teenagers, Charmed. And even last week, I had a woman on the show, Victoria Holt, who is bringing to the Sci-Fi Channel a show called The Gift, where she's recruiting people who feel they have intuitive abilities, and she's going to put them through a boot camp. And it's going to be like a reality show with, you know, eliminations each week. But she's putting them through that to, you know, see who wins, quote unquote, and this person gets this fabulous trip and all. But it's still coming to mainstream, opening up the possibilities for everyone. And on this show, people can actually learn intuitive skills also. So it's something that I think everyday people are starting to embrace, and maybe our government will start to embrace it, and we can get rid of wars.
Yeah, I did hear about the Victoria Holt process, actually from one of my students, who sent me an email about her posting, probably in many places, but on Craigslist for people who are intuitive. And also, as you know, there's another reality show that was aired last year called Dream Decoders. And you know about that, right? Our friend Marcia Emery was on it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a Hollywood reality show where three psychologists would interpret a ordinary person coming on the set, would give them their dreams, and then the three psychologists would go through an interpretation.
Mm-hmm.
So I do think it's hitting mainstream. When it hits Hollywood, you know something's happening.
Yeah, because that's, you know, fortunately or unfortunately, that's our main mode of communication, that and 6 o'clock news, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
But let's get back to the auras for a moment. We talked about the chakras, and then we talked about the 7 layers of the aura. How can we protect ourselves from energy invaders? How do we protect our aura from that?
I suggest that practice grounding the aura in the same way that you and I have been talking about having the body grounded, and we both know how essential that is to health and well-being and to protection, that a person, especially a sensitive person, needs to begin thinking about their aura being their outermost skin, not their physical dermal system being the end of their skin, but their auric system.
Mm-hmm.
And then to visualize at the outside perimeter of their aura a field of either light or maybe an arboretum of trees or some symbology to be a intuitive message that is the beginning and the end of their personal space. And then to take that a step further, to visualize grounding the perimeter of the aura. I like to suggest to students to start simple, like visualizing a light around the outside of your aura and then have that light streaming down into the earth and creating grounded positive anchors, or having lightning rods at the edge, all around the edge of the aura, and sink that into the earth so that you as a sensitive person, when you're out in the world, are not bombarded by all of the chaos that is around us, and you can create some sense of equilibrium within your own body and your own auric space, even if the world is chaotic around you.
Well, I like the idea of lightning rods, because not only will it do as you just said, but I feel that it would push back unwanted energy, you know, because what energy wants to touch lightning that's not from a good place?
Right, yeah,
you know,
it's a neutralizer.
I think so. Now, you talked about, you know, the aura and extending our thoughts about our skin out, you know, to our aura. What's a healthy size for our aura to be?
I always suggest to people to experiment, to feel how much space is comfortable for you to live in.
Mm-hmm.
Some people like to expand their auric field really wide around them, 2 feet, 3 feet, 4 feet. Some people like to have their auric field closer in. And, you know, maybe it's an introvert, extrovert type of personality.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I have heard that people expand and contract their aura in relationship to their environment, to the people they're around. The expansion of your aura is different when you're home alone than when you're in a crowd or a crowded elevator.
Mm-hmm.
And so that needs to be determined by each person and relevant to the situation that they're in.
Okay. Well, you know, some people, though, they want to have, you know, they want to cover the earth. And I think they're thinking that in a means to heal, but it really doesn't heal, because if you're invading someone else's space, you're kind of poisoning their space.
I agree.
Would you agree with that?
Yes,
okay.
I do.
Now, in page 202 of your book, you have this wonderful aura meditation. How often should we use it, and will this keep us clear?
You know, I think for people who are out in the world and, you know, on a daily basis bombarded by what's going on in the world, the craziness in the world, that you need to not leave your house without doing a simple, quick aura meditation.
Mm-hmm.
Because your aura meditation is what is going to set a positive, sustained, healing environment for you to be living in when you're out encumbering most of the world. So I would say 2 minutes before you leave your home,
mm-hmm.
or if you're, you know, you're home all day, take a minute or two and just do a quieting, cleansing aura meditation. Your aura is as important to you as your dermal system. And that if your aura is infiltrated or it's injured, it's like the skin on your body being cut. And if you don't take care of it, put a Band-Aid on it, it festers and it really creates disease.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we can circumvent all that by truly, you know, just paying attention. It seems like everything that you've mentioned really is just paying attention to ourselves, getting really to know ourselves, be in our body, be present, and being aware.
Well, the paying attention is critical, mostly because the intuitive voice, which is what you and I are talking about, listening to your intuitive voice, trusting it, following through, is the very quiet voice in a human being. The analytical voice is very loud and very demanding, especially in our Western society. So in order for a person to cultivate their intuition and use that as medicine, one needs to quiet their mind, pay attention, listen to their intuitive voice, trust it, and follow through. So yes, I agree with you. Paying attention is huge.
In the back of your book, you have numerous chakra charts.
20 pages.
Okay. Can you pick one and tell, well, first of all, why was it so important for you to have this information here, and how can we utilize this? I mean, folks, she has everything in here. I'm just breathing through right now. She can help you cure abdominal pain, anorexia, which is important for the people who feel they need to be a size 2 these days. Oh, even a coma. That's interesting. The reproductive system, thyroid issues, ulcers, everything in between. Why did you feel it was so important to share this, and how can we utilize this chart? I mean, the chart alone is worth the price of the book.
Thank you. I really thank you for pointing that out. And then if you continue to turning the pages, Monique, you'll see what I was referring to as the 20 pages.
Right,
there's
yes.
More beyond that.
Right.
I felt it was important because this is information that I have accumulated, I've researched, and I've amassed over my 30 years of working with people on a professional level, observing them, researching what's common to people, and bringing it into one system that a person can use, can open up the book, flip to one of these pages, find out why they're feeling pain in their stomach, and, you know, possibly they know it's not physical, what else could it be? And to go down this list and find out other possible causes that are energetic or spiritual or can be done via the subtle energy system. Now, these charts are not my personal information, but an accumulation of information from many, many, many students that I've had over the years.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a compulsive organizer. I like to organize information, especially when it's healthy information. So I've kept files of this type of information, and I had someone correlate it all to the different chakras and the different diseases for inclusion in this book.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really a human-based it's a research human-based appendix of how people can correlate illness and disease and discomfort with the subtle energy system, and how you then can apply the tools of meditation and hands-on healing and intuition to begin to practice using your own medicine to heal yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the science of intuition medicine, is really that's the chart in the back of the book, how you can apply the science of intuition medicine for your own health and well-being.
And it's really chock full of information, folks. I mean, she talks about when to dial down and open up your chakras. This is in the 20 pages that she was talking about. She also talks about how to find out if your chakras are in harmony or out of harmony and balancing them. And this is truly our toolkit for health. So if you're really worried about the allopathic way of healing and not having the correct health insurance or whatever it is that you need, tune in, get your own information, heal thyself, and save some money at the same time. You brought up one thing that I found quite intriguing, and you talked about colors and sound frequencies and their correlations to our musical scale. What's a good color frequency?
Well, it depends on what you want to heal or
mm-hmm.
what you want to change, because each color in the spectrum has a different resonant frequency that when visualized or run through the human body has a different effect. So, you know, if you want me to answer that generally, I would say an overall good color for a person to meditate with or heal with is gold, because on frequency scale, gold is almost all inclusive of the healing resonances of the spectrum.
Okay. Now, what if someone were trying to, they were working with healing their cancer?
It would really depend on what the cancer was.
Okay.
And where it was located. That, you know, need to be specific.
Okay. I just asked only because I know that using crystals to heal cancer is not necessarily a good thing, because the crystals, you know, put so much energy in there that it would just cause the cancer to spread. So I didn't want someone to pick a color that would cause them more harm than good.
Right. Well, if a person is in pain, cobalt blue is an anesthetizing color, and it's really an incredible pain reliever. So the application of, you know, even if you get, I actually have a large cobalt blue glass ball that I have in the classroom for students to look at. Some people say, well, I don't know what that color is. And, you know, I show them this cobalt blue ball. But cobalt blue is a really deep, clear, dark blue energy, not as dark as navy.
Mm-hmm.
And when you apply that, visualize that through your nervous system and through the pain, it works to anesthetize.
Okay. Is all of this in your book? I don't remember. Yeah, I think so. The colors and the different attributes for them? I believe. Yeah, it is. Okay. So people can get further information from your book, again, on just using ordinary colors. Now, can you dress in that color, or do you imagine the color? What can you do with the color?
You can do all of that. Some people like to, if they're in... need to give themselves more love and caring, dress in pink. Because pink is, you know, a self-love, a compassion, a caring color. I myself don't like to dress in pink, so I would just visualize it. But yes, you know, you can do that. You can, you know, even eat the color food that you feel is the missing color in your health diet.
Oh, there's
another concept of color. Is that there's another theory that if a person is lacking, say, pink in their auric field or their field of healing, they can replenish that by eating pink foods. Because color is really light that's captured at a certain frequency. And so that light color is captured in food, it's captured in nature, it's captured in the clothes that we wear. We can use it in our imagery. So there's many different ways to bring color into healthcare via many different modalities. You know, there's the rainbow diet, eating as many different colors every day as possible. And when my children were young, that was the reigning nutritional paradigm in our house. I would say to my girls, okay, today we're going to eat as many colors as we can. They'd have friends over, and every time their friends would come and they'd eat a meal with us, they'd say, oh, are we having a rainbow dinner tonight? So, it got to be a thing that the McCartney family was the rainbow dinner family.
Mm-hmm. And they probably took that information home and shared it with their moms, too. Well, that's fabulous. Well, we've been speaking tonight with Francesca McCartney. She's the author of Body of Health, The New Science of Intuition Medicine for Energy and Balance. She also has a school entitled the Academy of Intuition Medicine, and that's in Sausalito, California. For those who can't make it to beautiful Sausalito, do you have distant courses available?
Yes, we do. We have a six-person distance education faculty, really great people. So people can, again, log on to our website, intuitionmedicine.org, and go to the distance education program page to find out.
Okay, and to order her book or CD set, you can, again, go to her website, which is intuitionmedicine.org. Francesca, thanks so much. It's been so great to have you with me here this evening.
Thank you, Monique. It's my pleasure and honor to talk with you.
Yeah, and we'll have to do it again sometime.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, I'd like to thank, I'd like to thank Francesca McCartney for being with me tonight. I'll be back next week with a friend of hers and a friend of mine, Dr. Norm Shealy, and we're going to be talking about how to live to be 100 and more and still be fit and vital and healthy and gorgeous. But if you'd like more information about any of my guests or to find out about my personal appearances, please log on to either one of my websites, www.walkingwithspirit.net or www.healing-visions.com, or you can also give me a call at 888-240-6057. And remember, the master knows that he or she is always a student, whereas the student still hopes to someday be a master. Many blessings, light, and love to all. Namaste. Okay, Francesca, they should cut this off. So thank you so much.
Monique, you are an excellent interviewer. Thank you.
Oh, wow. Thank you.
You know, you had a, you were a little concerned that our interview would be the same as others.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely not like any other interview I've had.
Oh, no, it's different. Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
I'm grateful.
You picked out some brilliant things that I love to talk about that no one has asked me to talk about.
Oh, see, I really read your book.
Yeah, great. So you're having Norm on next week.
Yeah, he's on next week.
Oh, good.
Yeah, so it'll be great.
Okay.
Okay, so thank you so much, and hopefully they'll just edit this part out, guys. So listen and edit this part out.
Okay.
And if not, our audience will get to hear what we talked about after the show, like with Oprah.
All right, dear.
Okay, thanks so much, Francesca. I'll be in touch.
Take care.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.